Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. There are a lot of different budgeting strategies out there, lots and lots and lots, but there's one that's had real staying power. It is the 50-30-20 rule. And so today we're going to talk about what that rule is and whether or not it still works. It's still relevant in today's high inflation, high interest rate climate. Our guest is Jordan Kay. She is a personal finance writer, and she joins us from Halifax, Nova Scotia. Hello there.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What is the 50-30-20 rule?
So the 50-30-20 rule is a super simple budgeting rule that lets you just figure out whether you're spending your money in the right ways. And the way that it works is you want to spend 50% of your income on your needs, 30% on your wants, and 20% on savings or debt.
There is a simplicity around the third category, savings, but some nuance, probably a bit of a gray area for some people on needs versus wants. How do you recommend people think that through?
That's a great question, because it is so easy to confuse a need and a want, especially if it's something we really want. So the easy way to keep in mind the difference between needs and wants is, do I need this to survive? So for example, rent, your mortgage payment, insurance, groceries, these are needs. We need these. Things like travel, subscriptions, while they're important to enjoying your life, you don't need them to survive. So those would be categorized as wants.
This is a rule that's been around. I don't know who invented it or when, but it's been certainly been around for a while. How do we need to think about it in today's world? I mean, the price, no matter where you live in Canada, the price of keeping a roof over your head is ridiculous now. So that need, which is a need, probably for many people consumes more than that 50%, and that doesn't even account for food.
Absolutely. So rules like these have been in use for decades, but they are less beneficial now, especially in the last 5 years with the cost of real estate and rentals going up so much. So while it's a good rule of thumb to start with, you need to look at your individual financial situation to make sure that it's still applicable. So for example, if you want to buy a home and it's going to end up costing, you know, close to 50% just for your housing, while that would definitely push you over the 50% for your needs, if you don't have any debt or if you don't have childcare, you know, it might be okay.
The savings bucket has a lot of sub-compartments there, because there is savings for retirement, for a car, for a house down payment, for kids' education, for a vacation, for a renovation. There's like a million things anyone could be saving for. How do you set priorities? Let's say you can do it. You've got 20% going to savings. How do you set priorities in terms of where that, what particular subgroup that goes to?
That's a good question. So I think you would need to prioritize based on what is going to have the biggest impact on you down the road. So for me, retirement would be my number one most important savings goal. Saving for a new car is important. You need to have reliable transportation, but there's a lot of variability in how much you can spend on a car. There's a lot less variability in the minimum amount that you need to save for retirement. So that is how I would prioritize things. But again, it's different for everybody. If you have a pension, your retirement savings are not going to be as important. Hmm.
What's the actual what are the practical steps that you go through in order to figure out this math? And even if you don't change anything about your spending, you'd have the data. How do you go about doing that?
So the best way is to absolutely just start a budget. So look at your monthly spending, look at your, you know, rent, your mortgage, your car payment, and just start categorizing everything. You might have to spend some time in your credit card statements, which is a little boring, but it is worthwhile to get a really realistic idea of what you're actually spending versus trying to estimate, because the estimates would often be quite off. And then once you have it all categorized, you can compare your actual spending to this rule and see, hey, Am I way off? What categories am I off by? How can I make changes to make it a little bit closer to this ideal, especially if you're seeing that last category savings to be very low and wants to be a little bit higher? That would warrant some action.
I think the simpler part is reducing the wants. If you're ruthless about that, you know, you can say, oh, I want X. I'm not going to be able to buy X. I won't buy X. But needs are critical and you may not have to pay what you're currently paying on a car to get to work, a roof over your head, groceries. What's the work to be done on, that's the biggest piece of the pie there. What's the work to be done on reducing the spending on the things that you genuinely do need?
I think being mindful of things like lifestyle inflation is essential to keep those needs down. So like you hit the nail right on the head, like a car to get to work is a need, but do you need the car that you're actually driving, or can you get away with something a little bit more affordable or one that you could possibly pay off completely and have no car payment? That would drop your wants category quite a bit. So it's important to stay realistic about those needs and realize that what you have may not be what you need to get by.
You and I are not the same age. We have different life experience. We grew up in different times. What do you think is different for a Gen Zer or a millennial than for a Gen Xer like me or a boomer who simply didn't have the same temptations? We didn't have HGTV. We didn't have Amazon Prime. Life was in some ways easier for us simply because there was no way for us to spend in the way that other generations are able to spend.
Absolutely. I think that the rise of social media and the influencer culture is putting those types of consumption habits very front and center for people who consume those media. And the way around that is to be ruthless with who you follow on social media. So if you find yourself coveting those things and you find yourself spending a little bit more than you should be, ask yourself, okay, where did I even get the idea that I needed this? Oh, it was that influencer. I should probably take a break from them for a while.
Wow. Have you done this? I don't know. What do you call it? Like a social media cleanse? What do you call it?
I have done a few social media cleanses. Every once in a while, I will go through a list of people that I follow and just cut very ruthlessly, and then also take some time away from it.
So you do this work on your own. I think we all know that we are deeply affected by the people around us, our spouse, our partner, our friends, our parents. How do you recommend people talk about this work? So you do this work. If it only lives on a piece of paper and you never talk about it, it seems like a missed opportunity versus taking it to your friends, taking it to your partner, taking it to your family to say, hey, this is cool. This is what I did. How do you do that?
Well, if you're like me, you start a blog.
Oh, perfect. Great idea.
I'm a huge fan of talking about these positive changes. But if you are someone that is making those changes in your life, be prepared for people to not be super excited for you or understand where you're coming from necessarily.
Was this your experience?
Absolutely. Yeah. There was one very memorable experience I had where my landlord saw me on CTV talking about paying off all my debt, and it was student loan debt. So I came by it honestly. And she was like, I knew I took a chance renting to you. I'm like, no, it's a happy ending. I paid it off.
Wow. That is a very interesting insight that people may not pick up what you're putting down. Just before we go here, what is your one most important piece of advice for someone who's got the glimmer in their eye now about the 50-30-20 rule and is seriously considering taking it on?
I think the number one most important thing to remember is that you're not going to hit those numbers right off the bat. Be gentle with yourself. The most important thing is to start tracking your spending, see where you're at, and then make incremental changes. If you try and do it all at once, you're going to be miserable. It's not going to work.
Jordan, thank you so much. We're not miserable. We're inspired by your conversation. Thank you for making the time to talk to us.
Thanks for having me.
Jordan Kay is a personal finance writer and someone who has walked the path here on the 50-30-20 rule. She was in Halifax.
Hi, it's me, your debt. Look, we need to talk. This isn't working. The missed payments, the collection calls, and all those sleepless nights. We need nonprofit debt counseling, and I found the perfect place. Credit Canada Debt Solutions. They're non-judgmental, 100% confidential. They'll negotiate with creditors and even stop interest. Don't you want to rebuild your credit? You deserve better.
Break up with debt. Visit creditcanada.com.